You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What it is, what's up, and welcome everyone to Faces and Feels. I'm your host, Rafe Hewson, and today I'm joined by a very special guest. I believe this is like the 166th episode. Friend of the show, Neil Diamond Cutter, congratulated me on 165 the other day, and I didn't even realize it had gone on for that long. So, yeah, quite a while of shouting into the abyss and talking nonsense with friends, but I do have a new friend here today. He goes by the name Shiny Shoes. He's going to be doing lots of refereeing and other nonsense for ICW No Holds Barred. And we've got mutual shows coming up in not only Australia, but also we are checking each other out in Japan. Shiny Shoes, how are you doing, my man?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
You know me, man. The system was giving me quite a lot of fucking bullshit getting this started. Yeah. So I've had more relaxing starts to an interview.
Hey, we've got there.
We made it. Exactly. That's the attitude we need to have. We got there in the end, and I'm excited to spend the morning with you. But it's going to be fun, man. Like, we've got quite a few mutual friends and stuff. I've circulated around and promoted ICW for a very long time and have been aware of you for a long time, like since you started there. But I think you do great work, and I think this is going to be like a really fun chat where we can kind of rewind to, you know, the start of your origin story a little bit, and then also talk about some of the exciting stuff that's coming up for you.
Oh, I'm really excited for the stuff that's coming up.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be
time of recording, including tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. He's a busy man, and he's doing a lot, not only in the stripes, but also in the ring as well. So we'll break it all down. But whenever I start these interviews, always start the same. I like to ask people to rewind all the way back to the start and think about, you know, the first faces that got them into professional wrestling. So the first wrestlers that stood out to you and started to catch your interest and maybe drew you into becoming a fan.
So this is really easy for me. I can name all three. Jeff Hardy, just because he was cool as shit. Alex Shelley for a very similar reason, and Velvet Sky, because when I found TNA wrestling, I was a young lad, like 12, and I just randomly turned on Spike TV, and I think the rest can explain itself.
Yeah, absolutely. No comment. We don't want Bubba coming after us or anything like that. I don't know. I don't know how they're going today. God bless all the power of the world they made. Hopefully they're still together. Everything's all fine. I'm not even talking about it. Obviously some pretty popular answers there. Jeff Hardy has actually been a really common one on this show. Like, a lot of people really like Jeff, and I did too. Like, the TLC matches and stuff back in the day, all my creator wrestlers were wearing arm sleeves and wearing cargo pants, you know what I'm saying?
So I got into like pro wrestling really late in life. I really got like started watching it because everyone on the amateur wrestling team was watching it. I was like, I got to be part of the group, guys. And one of the first pay-per-views I ever saw was the 2008 Rumble where he does the Swanton from the heavens.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to be that guy.
Yeah.
I want to do all that.
And so you were doing like high school wrestling team or was it like college?
Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would have been middle school. So I've been like doing amateur wrestling since I was 7. I went all the way through into college, and then for a little while when I was with the Marine Corps, I was training for the Marine Corps Olympic wrestling team with hopes to try to make the Olympics.
Oh wow!
things didn't pan out all that well, but mm-hmm. I was okay.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so interesting. I didn't actually know you had like a bit of a military background. So as we follow it through, so you're wrestling from a young age, which is so interesting to me because in Australia we don't have like wrestling teams and stuff like that. Like it's a very American thing to have that, you know, catch as can type thing. You're getting into pro wrestling, you're liking it all with what everybody else is doing, but essentially you didn't start any actual professional wrestling training until after, I guess, your journey in that more serious Greco-Roman style college athlete pro style was done. I don't even know what it's called. What do you guys even call it? What do you even call real wrestling?
So it really actually depends on like which, if you're talking about like the Olympic level, there's two, it's freestyle and Greco-Roman. Technically, I guess the level I got out would have been collegiate. It's really, usually we'll say amateur if you're just trying to refer to the full broad sport.
Yeah.
But let's see, I think I had gotten just out of amateur wrestling because it was, I think I was two or three years into the reserves at that point when I started training. Because I want to say I started training in late 2017 and then I made my ref debut in early 2018.
Yeah, okay then. Yeah, right. So there you go. And did you go into the military straight out of high school? Was that like a career option for you? You were training with them and looking to make a career of that?
So the full story of how I joined the military is kind of funny. I did very well in like high school. I was a very good student. And then I kind of got really bored with it for a while.
Yeah.
So once I got into like my senior year, the last semester of I was like, I'm taking nothing, but I basically have finished graduation. I just have to do these last couple of classes just because I have to be here. Yeah. So I even started taking college classes, but I was just getting bored of academics. And then the Navy recruiter is the one who pulled up and was like, I started talking to my, because I did ROTC. My best friend had done it throughout his entire high school career. And I was like, oh, I'll just do it. So I'm in a class with you.
Yeah.
Kind of fell in love with like the order and structure of the military life. Navy recruiter talked it up pretty well. And I was like, dude, this guy kind of looks snazzy and white. And there's not a lot of people that can say that.
Yeah.
So I started like actually talking to the Navy recruiter. And then the Marine Corps recruiter was like, hold up. You haven't talked to me 1 second. I didn't even know you were thinking about joining.
Yeah.
So this was like the most last second decision of my life. I ended up joining the reserves just because I was still 17. And in like the States, since I'm not a legal adult, my mom had to sign off on me joining in general.
Sure.
And that was the only way I was going to get her to do it was if I stayed in the reserves.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that way I could continue to go to college.
Yeah, okay then. So does that mean, I'm not really sure how it all works, but if you're in the reserves, are you still living at home or are you like living on a military base?
So the way the reserves work is you basically I would go there for like a weekend, anything from like half a week to a weekend a month, depending on what we were doing. But if outside of that, I was staying at home.
Cool.
I still have to do like a lot of the active duty training stuff. And then for me specifically, you have the opportunities to just do active duty orders for like a week or two at a time, sometimes up to a month. So I did a lot of extra active duty time while I was there because it's what I wanted to do in the first place, just because of the restrictions I had.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. And then how long did you do that for?
So I served for 7 years.
Yeah, okay, wow. And so was it 7 years as reserve or did you end up as you got older going into it like full time?
So the way we kind of like, they outline your time, they give you like points for the reserves to like build up to the retirement. When I got out, I had more active duty points than I had reserve points. So I technically did more active duty time, but I was by contract always reserves.
Right, got you. So it's kind of like you're contracted to do, you know, a minimum amount a month or whatever it is. But if you do extra, that sort of like counts towards it and things like that.
Yeah, it's bonus points.
Yeah, right. Okay. And so, and during this time through the military, you're able to be on like the military wrestling team and continue training and that kind of stuff. And like you said,
so that was kind of where, so that was actually kind of where that dream died.
Okay.
because I had started getting in the groove of liking the reserve life, being able to, you know, travel, stay at home, and to fully get on the Olympic team, I did have to switch over to full-time active duty. And I was like, that's just not in the cards for me right now. And I had enough things going on in life. That's also probably around the time where I started to like find pro wrestling as like an opportunity of me getting into it. So it was like, pros and cons, and given what's coming up, I fully commit to my my choice.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So yeah, so you end up removing from that, and then now when about, is it around this time you're also doing refereeing for independent wrestling, or after?
I think this is around the time where I start to like go to independent shows. So like full story of how I found, like, cause again, I was way late into my life when I, or I won't say way late, later than most people. When I find pro wrestling. And cause like my mom hated pro wrestling. She thought this was, she's like, you can't watch this. Super Christian lady. So she's like, no, not The Undertaker. Get that off my TV.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Okay.
So we, so I get it like later than most, and I'm trying to remember what the question was.
Oh, just like how you then made the transition into finding independent wrestling and training and refereeing.
Yeah. So my high school wrestling coach had started professional wrestling like in the local area to me. And he was like, hey man, you should come to a show. And I'm like, I didn't even know independent wrestling was like a real thing. So then I go to the show. I start watching him. I probably go there for about a year. The same time, that's where Jaden Newman is working at. He's working there on a regular basis. And I fall in love with his heel character, because I was that obnoxious fan, right? I was the one cheering for the bad guys. So I thought it was cool. So we, that's... So then I start training a little bit at that school. Very shortly after that, the trainer at the time looks at me and is like, hey man, the building's shutting down. By the way, you probably shouldn't be a pro wrestler. You should just be a referee. Hopefully I see you on the road, and shakes my hand. I've never seen him since, so I'm not sure what roads he's on. But, yeah.
What made you make this judgment that you couldn't be a wrestler and you'd be a better referee?
So it's a very like stereotypical thing, especially in the Southeast, that refs, you know, they should be small, they should be invisible, out of the way, and wrestlers should be the exact opposite. They should be large, bulky, bear of men. If you've ever seen me on IWTV, I'm not.
No, I'd say you're more of a leaner type wrestler for sure.
I'm 5'5", 120 pounds. I know what my size is.
Absolutely. Well, that's the kind of brilliant thing about wrestling in 2025, is that it's kind of opened up now, that really wrestling can be any shape and size, which is pretty cool. But I know what you mean, those kind of traditional, you know, guys that have, you know, driven the roads and done things a certain way, I could tell why they would, you know, have a certain opinion.
Right. But it's one of those things I had to fight over, and I'm happy again. Like I said, I haven't seen what roads he was talking about, but I've clearly made fine with both, taking my own little path.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not often that you see we've never seen Shiny Shoes and Cody Manhorn in the same place. They could be different people. Nobody really knows for sure, but it's pretty rare that I've seen a referee kind of transition into a wrestling character and sort of still do both. You know what I mean? Like, it's normally kind of like a wrestler sort of puts that on the shelf and then maybe goes into refereeing, or it's just one or just the other kind of thing. So yeah, it's interesting watching your journey and sort of interesting seeing your profile rise for both characters.
I actually, for the character, I got to shout out Jaden Newman's trainer of Kerry Awful, because like there was a line that he said one time when he like kind of just did like a guest coaching thing. And it was that you gotta be your own favorite comic book character. And for me, that's always been the Hulk. I love the Bruce Banner Hulk dynamic. So I was like, if that's the case, I'm gonna make this a thing. And there's the birth of Cody Manhorn as a concept.
the name is pretty interesting. How did you come up with that?
So the name, is this an ongoing series of jokes, really? So, and then, like, it ends up having a little bit of a sentimental reason. So the Manhorn name is what came first. So I was doing, like, a coach gimmick when I first started wrestling. I was just a gym teacher obsessed with squats. And we were talking about my wrestling stuff. And I was like, yeah, my wrestling coach's name was Coach Seth Van Horn with a V. And they were like, did you say Manhorn? And I was like, no, Horn. And that's where it came, just being Manhorn. Then we're about to do this like birthday show. And one of the ring announcer at the time, he's back there on his phone. He's scrolling through clips of Cody Rhodes. Back when he was just going by Cody. And he was like, man, Cody's the greatest wrestler in the world. And I said, you're right, Cody, with a K. And I just went out there and was like, hey, announce me as Cody Manhorn. I ended up sticking with it, though, because so it's kind of like the sentimental reason to it. My my mother, one of her best friends, they actually got pregnant around the same time. They ended up having me and her son at the same day. His name was Cody, but he was born with a birth defect. So basically his brain never matured, only his body did. So that ends up catching up to you. And a few years ago, probably right around the time I started wrestling, he passed. So it's kind of, I always keep the name Cody, just kind of in remembrance of him.
That's good, man. Condolences for the loss of him. That's really unfortunate. He can kind of, things like that can show you that it's never too late to really push for what you want. You know what I mean? And as you have developed the character and, you know, you go continue on your wrestling journey, it's kind of cool that you haven't like let yourself fall into that box and, you know, use that stuff to inspire you. While we're in a little bit of a somber moment, I want to shout out, we had a mutual friend and he always spoke really highly of you, which is, SPO. Him and I were very close. We used to talk a lot, and through videos and stuff. And I remember when he started sort of, I guess making me aware of you and like, check out my boys on this thing and stuff like that. And that's really when I first started to come across you. Do you have any, a favorite fun memory of Sean you'd like to share?
Oh my God. Not that I can legally talk about. No, you know what? I think I have a very bad like memory sometimes. So like there's probably 1,000 memories that I could be like, oh, this one, if you brought it up, like, oh, that's a hilarious one. I think the first one that comes to my mind, there's really two, is the last car ride that him, me, and Mo, so Hoodfoot. Had. It's actually when you watch Hoodfoot's Life Of on IWTV, there's that little clip, picture of all three of us. That it was taken during this road trip, this trip. We were in Chattanooga that weekend, and we were just driving around. It was just the boys hanging out, talking the shit. And then Cocaine Country Dancing comes on the playlist, and it's like my personal liked songs. And I'm like, when the hell did this get on there? Turns out because we were partying the night before and I was passed out of my back seat, and those two just kept adding songs.
Like, they're like, we're going to educate this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Have I seen a video clip of you guys singing this in a car? I feel like Hoodfoot shared something like this. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because that ends up what we like say, and then we're taking that picture, and that was the only song that I left on the playlist, because I was like, man, I'm not having 27 songs about cocaine on my playlist. But this one, it's a funny memory, and I'm gonna keep it.
Yeah.
And then he passed about a week later. I'm like, that's me and your song now.
Yeah. Fucking tragedy, man. He used to share so much music stuff to me. You know, Sean was so passionate and loved like so much music stuff. And I actually, it's funny, I have Hoodfoot's Spotify playlist, his divorced dad playlist, on my phone. I let it, no joke, I wonder how many plays it's got, but I play it a lot, like when I leave the house to leave music on for the dogs and shit, I'll just leave them on this divorced dad playlist. Hang out to Hinder, guys, as I fucking leave.
The lips of an angel. wrestle.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I don't know what that's doing to them mentally, but yeah, so the, it's a bit of a...
They picked up drinking and smoking. That's what I'm...
Yeah, I mean, they do smoke now, but like, yes. But yeah, I think there's a music taste thing there that runs all through them. But yeah, so as you develop this character, was that the idea that like Shiny Shoes is the Bruce Banner and that Cody Manhorn is the Hulk? Like it's like he, Cody Manhorn is everything Shiny Shoes isn't?
Yeah, so that's always kind of been the concept of it. At first, it was very much played to the concept of like kind of a mirror and neither one's looking at the right direction mm-hmm. of neither knows that they're the other one. And we would play a lot with that dynamic. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things I did while I was like very heavily committed to that, like I make separate Facebook pages. I make separate Twitter accounts for all of this stuff. So that way I can stick to the bit. And one of my favorite things I ever did, it was me and my former tag partner, Aaron Wade, when we were the Squatting Dragons, we wrestled Violence Is Forever. Mm-hmm. And as we're like sitting, I knew this was going to be a good match. I knew it was going to be a very like special match for us. It was one of the biggest ones we had ever had at this time. I had one of the goons, they were up in the bleachers. I had them take a picture, add it to a tweet that I had already composed. And my ongoing bit was that everyone's my favorite wrestler. You're my favorite wrestler. And I would say it to everyone.
Yeah.
Except Cody Manhorn. Cody Manhorn is my least favorite wrestler. So then after this match, I had them tweet that picture while I was still in the ring live on IWTV. And all it said is, you're my favorite wrestler. And it was a picture of me in the ring while I'm still selling them. So with the hashtag and everyone's like, wait, how did you pull this off? There's the magic trick. Drafts, guys. Drafts are real.
You're like, well, it's two different people, obviously. That's the only.
Yeah, it's two different people. Yeah. As we've explored it more, I've kind of, you know, broken that wall down a little bit where it's like Shiny Shoes will always try to take care of his own problems. We've seen that with like, you know, Brandon Kirk, mm-hmm. the touch glass picture that I did. But like when push comes to shove and it's time to go, mm-hmm. We call him the big man and we're getting Cody Manhorn out here. We've recently done something at TWE with it with one of our trainees, a Singrid, the Scourge of Odin, is her name. Mm-hmm. Yeah, career of her tag partner. And as Shiny Shoes, I went out there as the interviewer because mm-hmm. I'm the jack of all trades. I can do anything in wrestling, guys.
Yeah, sure.
So I go to interview her and I'm like, hey, I've seen so much, I've seen a lot of violence because obviously I rep for ICW. Uh-huh. Like, but why did you do this? Mm-hmm. She starts going off. She's like, I'll end anybody's career, even Cody Manhorn.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Horn stares at me. I kind of laugh it off. Oh, that's not what you want to bite. She shoves me. I'm like, we're doing this. I take the glasses off and just headbutt the crap out of her.
and change really, in front of everybody.
Yeah, it's a really fun dynamic to play with. I mean, we've done it at ICW mm-hmm. When we had the Atticus match, right? So I have that tug of war of the belt for a second. Mm-hmm. Then I blast him as Shoes and take the glasses off. And it's that signal to the crowd. You hear them erupt on the stream too of like, nah, it's not Shoes no more. You got Cody.
Yeah.
It gets that real nice. Because I've taken so much time to make sure, like, you know, work it well, tell a real story of it.
Yeah.
Especially the TWE arena. They bite on it so much. You get such good crowd reaction when mm-hmm. just the simplest of me taking my glasses off.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's showtime now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a, like Clark Kent and Superman, right? They're two completely different people. Mm-hmm. That's the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the other thing is like, I couldn't turn green. I'm like, what other superhero has a costume change?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. This is obvious. Exactly. How did you find, transitioning into pro wrestling training from amateur wrestling? So was it something that you found really natural or did it actually take like a little bit of an adjustment? Cause you're used to doing things a certain way. And then now you're, you know, having to do things Like you've been training to actually lock people down, to actually apply pain and leverage and things like that. And it's like now you need to sort of rewire your mindset a bit.
So the big change for me was a lot of the time, like in amateur wrestling, we want to stay very small. We want to stay compact. You don't want to let people have any kind of extra handles or leverage on you. You want to stay very low to the ground. Mm-hmm. While in pro wrestling, it's all about showmanship, and you want to keep your head up. You want to keep it when you're going for a lockup. You want a lot of you look big and strong.
Yeah.
So I had to figure out how to like basically take what I was doing already, loosen it up, and make it more showy. Which it wasn't a hard concept for me to understand because I was a very big theater. Like I was a theater nerd too. I've lived multiple lives. There's not many things I have. So I was already kind of like, it was in my head, this makes sense. It was just, there was a muscle habit of that was really what I had to break of like, all right, don't do this anymore. I think as I've developed away from being comedy coach character into what KM7 is now, which I describe as if Cristiano Ronaldo was a an amateur wrestler, that's Cody Manhorn. So as I've gotten like the transition, it's been a little bit easier. Because I've been doing a lot more of the technical stuff, especially getting to work in the UK a little bit with Dean Hallmark and train with him a bit has helped tremendously. Mentorship from Daniel Maccabe has helped with that. But as I've done that, I've become more comfortable. And again, it's really just trying to, when I find myself doing something, it's like, all right, now you got to pick your head up, even though you don't want to. You got to put, you know, big show with these holds, as opposed to what I'm used to, and that's very tight,
efficient.
Joint manipulation. Sure. Yeah, trying to make sure there's not a defense to it. And it's like, and sometimes when like I'll get somebody newer, and we'll start to just, you know, basic chain to start a match, and I'm like, you're not ready for what I'm doing. I gotta show you where the out is, so that way you can get out of here.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. No, it's a very interesting thing to me, that sort of mindset when somebody that has like legitimate training or serious training and stuff then has to adopt that pro wrestling mindset and how that works, you know? Absolutely.
Yeah. I think it helped. It helped a lot actually. Cause like training with Wade as well. Cause Wade is a legitimate 5th degree black belt.
Yeah.
That's not like a gimmick he's running. That's a real black belt that's right around his waist.
Sure.
And he also, you know, had to learn the same thing. He had especially when he first started, he was absolutely terrified to throw kicks, and they were very soft. Just because he was scared, if I actually try to throw a kick, I'm going to break your spine. Trained to do this since I was 4 years old.
And it's like it might just be reflex, and I might fuck somebody up.
Like, man, it is a big difference when you know like the legitimate way to apply an armbar, as opposed to, all right, now I'm going to get inside a wrestling ring where my opponent is trusting me and I'm going to put an arm bar. It's going to look really real to the rest of the crowd, but he's not going to be screaming there with a broken arm in 2 seconds.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. That's wild. As you go forward now and you're doing kind of both things, where do you find that your heart lies? Are you actually like pretty happy doing both, or are you like, I'd like to do more of the wrestling thing, or like just keep it on the back burner? Like, how do you look at it?
So when I started, I always wanted to wrestle. The reffing thing was really just for me to get my foot in the door, because I'm a go-getter at heart. I keep myself preoccupied with 10,000 things at one time. So I was like, if this will get me into wrestling, I'll do it. And I think as I've aged and matured a little bit, because I'm almost near 30 now. I know that's not, there's probably plenty of viewers who are like, you're young. And I'm like, bro, I don't feel young. But
it's all those lives you've lived.
As I've grown up a little bit, I think I've come to realize that. So in pro wrestling terms, I am still old. A lot of the time, like I think the general rule of thumb that was at least told to me, the WWE doesn't care if you're over 34. They also don't care about people who are 5'5", 120 pounds. Surprisingly enough, they still believe a lot in those traditions.
Yeah, I think you find as well in WWE, like even the smaller wrestlers are still big. They just look small compared to,
they're the normal person.
Yeah, sure.
So as I kind of like accepted that, that I don't prioritize what will get me on TV. I'm more focused on what's going to let me have fun. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think it's kind of both. I'm very selective of what shows I do ref. Right now, the only ones I named top of my head are ICW, ETU for the struggles, and then NGW, which is a local promotion here, but they bring in a lot of like bigger names. I've gotten to work with Fandango, Tyler Breeze, Rich Swan. Those are just kind of the regulars. Even No Way Jose, which is one of the most random people I've ever seen on a wrestling show. But like, those are really the only shows, and those are the ones where I'm like, I'm gonna have fun here. I'm gonna get work with some fun, cool people. I'm a little bit more loose with my wrestling bookings just because, like, hey, I want to try to build that brand more. I want to try to build that name up the same way I have the Shiny Shoes name. But when it comes to, like, full-on enjoyment, it's really both. I enjoy being around wrestling. That's kind of where my thing is. Me and Hoodfoot, we'll joke a lot of the time that there's not enough hanging out with the boys here in wrestling lately. Everyone's kind of like, all right, job's done. I'm going home. And we're like, okay, but we're going to go to the bar. and that's kind of where my heart lies. It's like, I have more enjoyment spending time around people in wrestling, even like to the extent of the fans, than I do like actually being in the ring. Like being in the ring a lot of the time, that's performance, it's work. And but my real enjoyment is like, you know, after the match when I'm going out to the crowd and everyone's high-fiving, like, man, that was such a good match. And it's like, you know what, they really do appreciate me. Or like when I'm just hanging out, we're talking, and it's like, I'm not, you know, stupid enough to sit here and be like, you know what, every single person in professional wrestling is my best friend and I'm going to invite him to my wedding. No, like, I get it. This is a working relationship, but like, just like at work, man, like, I enjoy probably spending, like, talking to people that I work with more, because at least we're sharing that, that trauma. than the actual work. Just like I enjoy talking to people in pro wrestling about pro wrestling.
Because we're, it's like hanging out with the coworkers after a long day and things like that, and blowing off some steam and stuff.
Oh, like when I worked food service, it was like, man, I enjoyed going out to get drinks with people I worked with. Work sucked. Like, hey, afterwards, let's go grab a beer.
It's like brothers in arms, you know, after it's all said and done of the, all the energy. Well, I mean, there's going to be plenty of that in your near future, so we can segue into some of the cool dates that are coming up, because you're coming to Australia, as we know, which is very exciting. That was just announced. You're going to be here for the Deathmatch Down Under Dream Weekend and the ICW Australia Tour 2. I was at the first one, so very excited to see the second one play out. And then the ICW No Holds Barred Japan Tour, which is going to be awesome as well. Have you ever been to either of these countries before?
No, I haven't. The only country, or I've been to the United Kingdom, so Scotland and England before. I missed the first ICW Australia tour because I didn't have a passport at the time. I had really just started like really traveling. So that is a requirement.
Absolutely. That's a shame. But you're passported up now and you're coming in hot next month. It's like very soon, right? Like we've only got a few weeks until that.
So I fly out, like, I think I looked at it the other day. I have like 3 weeks for my flight. It's actually 3 weeks till the first show. My time.
How exciting is that?
I am absolutely stoked. So when, when I was a real, when I get into something, I get into it. So when I found pro wrestling, I became a pro wrestling nerd. Like I was on the old WWE Universe forum pages doing the e-booking. And one of the guys I met, he was his name was John, but he was from Australia. We even friended each other on Facebook. So I'm like, this is a cool little full circle moment for me. That I'm going to be in Australia. Another guy I met, Sam, he was actually from Melbourne. So I'm going to be there.
That's why.
Hopefully he's seen the posts on Facebook.
That'd, I was going to say, are you still in contact with these people? Or?
I'm not sure. He might have unadded me.
Oh, well, there you go. Either way. And you're going to not only be reffing, but you're also going to be wrestling in Australia, right?
Yeah, it'll be Cody Manhorn versus Xavier Black for what, ICW 74? I can't keep up these numbers.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot. Well, I can tell you the last time I think the last ICW tour of Australia is the best run of shows I've ever been to in my life. And I've been to some pretty amazing places. I've been to Japan a lot of times. I've been to Wrestle Kingdoms. I was at the first AEW Double or Nothing. I've done some really cool stuff in wrestling. And I don't think I've ever had more fun than I had over those few days. I can't be at the whole thing. I can't get there for the Thursday, but we'll be flying in on the Saturday morning for the dream thing. So we'll be there for the Saturday and Sunday. And yeah, just so exciting, man. I think it's going to be really, really fun.
Oh yeah. No, I'm stoked, especially right now. Cause I feel like ever since we've gotten back from the hiatus ICW, yeah. It's really like, we got a new set of tires and I think we might've got a new engine too. Yeah. We're running on all cylinders, cooking. Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we're just, because every, you said it's like one of the best runs of or weekends of shows, and I'm like, really? It's been every one of these ICW weekends where I'm like, we're just knocking out of the park left and right. Great. It's like, I thought the first chat weekend was great, and then I was like, man, but that UK weekend, and then we just did the Detroit and Chicago one about a month ago, and it was like, bro, those were some of the best, those were two of the best crowds I think we've ever had as far as like intensity.
That's great.
And I have no doubt that TWE, you know, they're going to, they heard that and said, you know what, challenge accepted.
Yeah.
And they're going to show up this weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But we just keep upping the ante on this, man. It's cool. Oh, and shout out Boston. I wasn't there, but I heard that was a hot crowd too.
Yeah, that's dope. What's your thoughts on the Dream Deathmatch Tag Team Tournament? That's a pretty sweet concept, eh?
Yeah, so I saw that because, like, when I hear Dream, I actually I am very close with one Matt Tremont, the current Deathmatch Down Under champion. Mm-hmm. So when I think about that tournament, I think about that guy. So it's like being able to be part of, you know, something like, even if just in the refereeing capacity, to be part of something in another country, you know, with the prestige of Dream. Mm-hmm. Let alone in tag match setting, which is a low-key passion of mine in wrestling.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I love tag match wrestling because I did it for so long with Wave. And I think it's such a fun dynamic. And I honestly think tag matches are the easiest type of wrestling match to do, as long as you're smart with how you structure things, especially in a death match setting.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm happy to see some, you know, my ICW representation. I'm a little bit biased to some certain pillars.
Absolutely.
Hopefully the boys take something home.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, that's going to be awesome. And then obviously Japan, and anybody in wrestling, I think, always kind of wants to go to Japan. It's a country that is very special to me. I go there pretty regularly. And then to get a chance to see you guys operating in Japan, I think is going to be a real blowout, like, run of shows. And when you see the list of talent, not only American, but also all the Japanese talent that's going to be on the shows, that's just wild.
Yeah, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head with the it's everyone's dream. I don't, whether it's deathmatch, you're a comedy wrestler, you're a technical wrestler, you're a, you know, the standard high flyer, whatever your like niche in wrestling is, whenever someone says Japan, it's like, oh yeah, that's bucket list, that's ultimate goal, that's Ribera jacket. How many guys, you know, you think about those kind of things. And I think for ICW, it's hard work paid off for all of us, because all of us really, when we got together, that was always the goal. Can we be a deathmatch company that's, you know, on par with things like Freedoms? You know, the deathmatch, where deathmatch originates in its own right. And for us to be like, when Danny said that, in, I kind of got like read some social clues on the medias of, I think this is coming. And then when he had told us all in the locker room at the Boston show, when we came back, it was, my first instinct is, I don't care what I have to do, I'm going to be at these shows.
Yeah.
Actually, up until, like, because I've had my flight booked there for a few weeks. Up until today, I did not have a flight home. But that's how committed I was. I was like, I will figure it out one way or another, but I will be inside that building.
Yeah, that's it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's just really hard work paid off, man.
Yeah.
It's so cool to see, especially for a lot of these guys. Like Malcolm. Malcolm's been like in the ups and downs, the absolute highs and lows of this business. So to get to see him have that opportunity is cool. You know, Tommy, John, getting to make it, like, coming back to ICW and being part of this, that's a really cool thing. And then we get four-time Stanley Cup champion Darren McCarty.
I know. Darren McCarty coming over is crazy. Like, and he even Struggles as well. Like, when I first met Struggles a very long time ago in another life now, it feels like, with the Spotlight series and stuff, he had spoken on that show about how much he wanted to go to Japan and see these things. And then he was going to come to Australia, but that didn't happen. And so to see him get to, like, go on these Japan shows and, like, get to live that, it's just so cool to me, like, that he's eventually got there, because few people work as hard as that man. Like,
yeah, it's actually crazy because, like, when we took the break, I had a lot of us were feeling burnt out. Like, that's not an exaggeration or a marketing tactic. No, a lot of us were just burnt out with the ICW concept.
Yeah.
And we needed a break. And I really, right around that time also is, like, when I got told the break is coming, is when we had the Dragon Gate ETU show.
Sure.
And I sort of think, and with other rumors that circulated after that show, it's like, well, maybe this is the way I get to Japan, which, again, with my reffing, like how I got into reffing, guys, I'll do whatever it takes to make my goals happen.
Yeah.
So that means I'm just going to work Dragon Gate. Oh, no.
yeah. What a shame.
What a shame.
Yeah.
But, like, I thought that was the way in. And, like, it, to see, even if it's not his own promotion, Struggs get rewarded. Because, like you said, he's one of the hardest working. Mm-hmm. He's always looking out for other people. Mm-hmm. He's, like, one of the first people when it's like, that's new talent. I like it. I want to give them a chance.
Yeah.
I always, like, it's ETU. Really, like, when I see someone starting to pop up on the indies, it's like, very soon I know they're going to get an ETU graphic.
Yeah, I mean, he's always been that. I mean, his podcast was that. Mm-hmm. He was always reaching down into the, you know, new talent and cherry-picking people and giving them a platform and things like that. That's just how it works. He's got a great eye for that.
Yeah. Yeah, if there were scouts in professional wrestling, their names are Struggles.
Yeah, exactly. So some huge company should give him, like, a lot of money and just have him do it for them, because he would do it.
Just do the scouting?
He would do a great job. If everything goes to plan, actually, I'm speaking to him tomorrow, so watch out for an interview with him coming soon. But that'll be him. I'm trying to remember. He was on my show. He was my 50th episode, and this is 166. I'm trying to remember if I've definitely had him on since then. But either way, I speak to him all the time, so I don't remember when the last time he was on the podcast was. But either way, it's going to be really good to see him. It feels like way too long since we had a chat, so I think that's going to be really fun. So as we go forward and all these things are booked, everything's going to come, where do people go online to keep track of shoes and find you online and see what you're up to in all these tours and things like that?
All right. So the easiest way is to get a hold of me, and where I'm most prevalent is going to be on Twitter, at Ref Shiny Shoes, or if you want to follow the Cody Manhorn page as well, that's at Cody Manhorn. That's spelled with a K. Mm-hmm. I do also have a working Facebook page that I'm working on with the Cody Manhorn character, as well as you can follow me on Twitch, which I do talk about wrestling kind of on a weekly basis, at Ref Shiny Shoes.
Okay, there you go. And do you have a merch store or anything like that as well, or do you sell merch at the shows?
So I do sell merch at the shows. I would usually carry a couple t-shirts and 8x10s. There's a lot of Cody Manhorn merch available at codymanhorn.printify.me.
There you go. So that's where everybody needs to go. So, man, I want to thank you for your time on this Thursday night, I think it is for you, and also your patience with all the technical issues we've had today. I'm hoping to get them sorted out sooner rather than later, but these things happen. So I want to thank you for that, man. It's really been a pleasure getting to know you, and I look forward to maybe sharing a beer or something with you in the very, very near future, yeah?
If you know me, I'm definitely always down to share a beer.
That's what I like to hear. Excellent. Everybody out there, make sure you check out all of Cody's things. And if you're coming to these shows, don't be a stranger. Make sure you check him out and make sure you pick up some merch. All right, that's it for me. Remember, it's all about peace, love, and pro wrestling. Peace out. Thanks for listening. Faces and Feels is a proud member of the Count Out Podcasting Network. It is created and hosted by me, Rafe Houston, edited by myself and the amazing Ryan Neitzy, and the show is available on all good podcast platforms, so please go rate and subscribe. You can follow the show everywhere on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, etc. at Faces Feels Cast. And you can check out the Countout Network and all our sister shows over there at Countout Pod. If you'd like to book me for commentary, have an interview request, a topic suggestion, or you just want to say hi, you can email us at facesandfeels@gmail.com. With all that said, thanks for listening, and please support our friends and sponsors. Peace.
This has been a Countout Podcast. Every year, the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame receives a new crop of nominees, and a few of those wrestlers are added for the very first time. Welcome to The Ballot, a brand new podcast on the Countout Network dissecting the pro wrestling careers of these first-time nominees on the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Hall of Fame Ballot. This is a place where the conversations begin on whether or not these newbies are worthy of being considered true Hall of Famers. Join me, Ryan Knightsey, as I sit down with a guest every month and discuss if a wrestler has the skills, the stardom, and the significance to be considered one of the greats. Subscribe to The Ballot wherever you get podcasts and follow along to learn with me about the greatness of professional wrestling. Please enjoy the show.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.